registered in the Union to come to Washington, D.C. to send a message to the state of Israel, you're not alone. I appreciate Christians United for Israel and all you are dedicated to doing. This building knows that you are here by divine appointment. On February the 7th of this year, over 400 of America's foremost Christian leaders met at Cornerstone Church in San Antonio and unanimously agreed to come to Washington, D.C. for one reason, and one reason alone, and that was to stand up and speak up for the state of Israel.
We're going to be talking about CUFI. Yes, that's Christians United for Israel. And we'll be with you for the next hour, and we're going to be going through the clips of the banquet that occurred on July, That was July 17th.
July 17th, yes.
Yes, that was.
And that was the first clip that we're going to be doing this evening. Most of the clips are a minute or less. That was John Hagee opening up the Esther's Banquet, as they were calling it, on Monday evening, July 17th in Washington, D.C. 3,400 Christian Zionists, and that's their term for themselves, met in a hotel in downtown Washington, D.C., and were fed at a banquet, and heard speakers, many of which were going to excerpt in different clips that were playing on the show tonight.
Yes, and the ones that stretched themselves upon beds of ivory, and the ones that eat the, what they do is they stretch themselves upon the couches, they lie upon the beds of ivory, and if you do a word search and start looking those words up, you're going to find that they spread themselves, they lie back, they stretch back, and what this is their haughtiness, their pride, their arrogancy, that they are doing the will of God. And in the meantime, they're eating the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. And that's going to be the multitude. We've long identified CUFI as being the construct that brings in the abomination of desolation, that brings in this mandate that they have to kill the multitude. How do they do that? They do that by stating that the multitude are not the chosen people. Israel is the chosen people, and because the multitude is claiming that they are the chosen people, the true sons of God, they will be murdered for that. And this is the identification here. These people you're going to hear speaking tonight are these people that will be killing the multitude in the future.
Yes.
The ones that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch upon their couches.
And we'll remind you again that we've been tracking this from the very time that the CUFI emerged in the news. That was back on February 7th, as you heard John Hagee himself state. 400 pastors gathered in San Antonio, Texas, at the Cornerstone Church, which is a large charismatic church that John Hagee heads. They met and they formed formally the organization CUFI. The organization itself has actually been in skeletal form for over a decade. There actually is another website where you can find information on an early formation of this. Hagee himself failed once before to galvanize the Christian community in this manner. This time, they have succeeded. And as you're going to hear in this next clip that we're going to play, you'll understand why. They have a sense of prophetic destiny in what they're doing. You're going to hear prophetic statements throughout this program tonight from these people.
You know, the whole construct of CUFI, we're looking at this as being the rebuilt house of Esau.
Mm-hmm.
In Micah or Malachi chapter 1, it talks about the mountains of Esau, basically Mount Seir, being laid desolate, and how they take it and they say, we will rebuild the desolate places, and they shall be called the border of wickedness. Well, this is the rebuilding of the house of Esau, the giving away of the true birthright of the spiritual Christian, the spiritual Jew, to the physical Jew. And this interesting thing is, back February 7th, when these 400 pastors got together with John Hagee, okay, so you have 400 pastors plus John Hagee in the Cornerstone Church, which I think is a signature within itself.
Yes, it is.
Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Well, there's a verse in Genesis 32:6, and it states this: "Then the messengers returned to Jacob." Now, this is when Esau is heading over towards Jacob, and Jacob sends messengers. And it says, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him.'" So Esau is coming to meet Jacob with 400 men. Well, we are claiming that John Hagee is Esau, and at that February 7th get-together that they had when Kufi was formed, there were 400 men with him. And they began rebuilding the house of Esau that day. And what this is going to culminate in is the abomination of desolation and the making of the image to the beast, that whoever does not worship the beast shall be killed.
Yeah. This is one of several strange spiritual signatures that resonate throughout the entire construct of Kufi. Let's take a listen to another clip here, get a sense of their sense of destiny as they're fulfilling it.
I think it is very timely. It could be a more timely period to have this gathering here in Washington, D.C. It could not be more timely because Israel is under attack. It could not be more timely because the United States is under attack. It could not be more timely because all our values are under attack.
That's the Israeli ambassador to the United States of
what
America.
What we see now happening in the Middle East is not coincidental, not in the timing and not in the scope of the attacks. It was a well-coordinated attack. Hamas in the south in Gaza, Hezbollah in the north, but it's all coming by the inspiration, direction, and support of Iran and Syria.
Okay, in that's and I forgot the gentleman's name. I do have it here somewhere written down. That is the Israeli ambassador to the United States, who has been, I believe he was appointed 2 years ago under Ariel Sharon, and he has been in Washington for 2 years, basically forming a lot of relationships with the very people that he's addressing this night. You get a sense here of the timing. Think about the timing that this banquet occurred in. This was the weekend after the initial raids in the Lebanon by Israel. It was a time of heightened suspense. We're now almost 2 weeks into this war, and we are calling it a war because it is a war. At the time of this banquet, there was a very deep sense of foreboding about the war that was going on and the timing of the banquet itself. We believe that all of these things were not coincidental. You have to ask yourself a question: what are a group of people doing going to Washington, D.C. in the dead of summer? Washington, D.C. is a swamp, and this time of year, especially in the heat we've had this summer, Washington is not a pleasant place to be. So there is this sense of prophetic timing that wasn't lost on anybody.
Yes, it certainly is, and it's interesting that was the Israeli ambassador that showed up there at the Kufi banquet. And at the Kufi banquet also, there was a Prime Minister Olmert letter. There was a letter,
yeah.
And there were quotes read out of it, and I'll just give you a couple of these quotes here. The Olmert's letter referred to the Kufi group's bold stand at this crisis time and the group's acknowledgement of Israel's biblical birthright. Now, this actually came from an article called What a Night to Honor Israel, speaking about the Kufi Washington Summit dinner, which was, of course, they referred to it as Esther's Banquet.
Yes. We're going to, like I said, this is a very loose threshing floor show tonight. We're going to go through these clips, and we're just going to comment on them. You mentioned a few minutes ago, Sue, about Nehemiah and God's timing and the sense of destiny that these people had in likening themselves to that very particular period of biblical history. Let's listen to this clip.
You remember the book of Nehemiah? He spoke about a day like today. He said that there were leaders, all with good works, all building the wall around Jerusalem, rebuilding the wall. But there were gaps in the wall. They were separated. On February the 7th, you heard the first call, and the leaders came together. And the Lord promised that that is where he would fight the battle for us. Today, you have heard the battle horn once again. It was God's timing that brought us here this day, not man's planning, God's timing.
The orchestration of timing is clearly in God's hands. God's hands clearly upon the events around the world. The problem with these statements is that they don't know who they are in Christ, and as a result of that, they see themselves in a light in which they don't occupy prophetically. The formation of Kufi and this particular gathering of people signifies a gathering of people who are destined for a different fate, shall we say?
Yes, that would be a very good way to put it.
Because what we're seeing is prophetic role reversals, the whole Esther's banquet thing. The roles aren't real clear at this point, but one thing's very certain. They viewed themselves at this banquet in the role of Esther, who is, of course, going to Ahasuerus to let him know and to plead for the life of her people. And that's basically the way they see themselves right now. The interesting thing is, as you've heard us break out on the threshing floor over especially the last eight shows that we did, we just concluded the trumpet judgments, you begin to understand that at some point these very people begin to occupy the role of Haman in the book of Esther.
Exactly. And remember, there's that verse in the New Testament that Jesus said that he that killeth you, I'm paraphrasing here, thinketh that he doeth the service of God.
Mm-hmm.
These people in this Kufi group, they truly believe that this is a mandate from God, that God is behind them. Well, it's God all right, but not God with a big G, God with a little g. It's the little God, Satan, that is actually behind them, but they actually believe that it is the Lord Jehovah. And
yes.
That is where their delusion comes in. And so that when they go forth with this mandate, they really believe that they're doing the work of God. But that is where the delusion is. That's where they are totally deluded in what they're in their thinking.
Yeah, let's hear from another clip here. This is from a very high-profile ministry. This is Rod Parsley out of Ohio, and let's just listen to what Rod Parsley has to say.
Hi, everyone. I'm Pastor Rod Parsley, Senior Pastor of World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio. I'm the founder and president of the Center for Moral Clarity. I want to thank my good friend and colleague, Pastor John Hagee, for bringing together men and women from all across the nation to speak with one voice in Christians United for Israel. In light of recent events, your timing couldn't have been more prophetic. Isaiah 62 says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace night and day. You who are servants of the Lord, keep not silent. I can't resist to say it. I will be silent no more. Our times demand it. Our history compels it. Our future requires it. And most of all, God is watching. It was our Jewish friend, Uli Wiesel, who survived the Holocaust and then won the Nobel Peace Prize, who said, I swore to never be silent wherever and whenever human beings endure suffering and humiliation.
Very polarizing statement from Rod Parsley. And one of the things we want to point out as we're doing the show, we do not hate Israel, we do not hate Jewish people. The issue is Christians who have lifted Israel into an exalted place and placed them in a position which they no longer occupy. Because he who is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew. The New Covenant, as the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans, the new covenant is built upon the Spirit. It is built upon a confession of faith in Jesus Christ and abiding in the truth, as we've said for many, many shows on Threshing Floor, as James Lloyd has taught on the Christian Media Network and other teachers have brought out. This is a question of identity. It is a question of who you are in Christ and what your Bible actually tells you about what God is doing right now in the earth.
Exactly. Let me read you a quote by Pastor Hagee. I don't even really like calling him Pastor Hagee. He's John Hagee. In common with many American evangelicals, he believes that God gave the land to the Jewish people and that Christians have a biblical duty to support it and the Jews. Well, you know, the ironic statement about that right there is that this is absolutely correct. God did give the land to the Jewish people, and Christians have a biblical duty to support it and the Jews. The thing about it is, it's the spiritual Jews, not the physical Jew, not the physical Israel, but the spiritual Israel. And this is where they've got it wrong. They are finishing in the flesh. They are not in the spiritual. They're taking everything that Jesus Christ did on the cross and throwing it away, because that's when the Lord brought us into the covenant and we became the sons of God.
It all boils down to identity, folks. And what you're hearing are very consistent statements throughout these shows that demonstrate that they don't know whose child they are. Let's take a listen to this one. This one is stunning. I know Sue will have some comments on this.
The wild branches that were grafted into the mercies of God stood up. We'll be talking about the night that Christians from all over this nation finally stood up and said to our elder brethren of the faith, our Jewish friends, we said, never again. We said to them, never again will you stand alone. We love you. We believe the words of your prophet Zechariah, who said, when we touch the life of a Jew, we have touched the very apple of the heart and the eye of God.
Okay, Roger.
And so thank you so much. We're proud and honored to be here. God bless you.
Thank you. Okay, that's Rod Parsley's statement. The wild olive branches. Isn't it interesting how he chose that?
Yes, it certainly is. But the wild olive branches are the Gentiles becoming the spiritual Jews. Isn't that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Yes.
Here's what God had to say about Israel back in Isaiah chapter 5. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it. That would be the watchman. And also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. That's the same similitude as the wild olive branches, those who were grafted in. Paul tells us over in the book of Romans that the branches were broken off so that others could be grafted in. It also warns us not to taunt the branches that were broken off. God does love the Jew. The Jew lacks Jesus Christ, and the people who are conducting Cufi, the people who are standing here in this auditorium this very evening, are not ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe we have them on record as saying that essentially they're not preaching Jesus to the Jews.
Oh, not only that, I have a more exact quote if you'd like me to quote that.
Yes, I was hoping you would.
Okay. Well, this actually comes from the executive director. Now, back when Cufi was formed, John Hagee hired this person by the name of Mr. I believe his name's David Brog. I do know that I do have the last name correct. That's B-R-O-G. And he is a Jew. And he hired him for the executive director position of Cufi. Well, this is what, there was a reporter speaking with him, speaking about the commandment of to go out and preach to all nations. In fact, Jesus states this in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Of course, we've done a study on that, and it means in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so, is this, oh, well, maybe we can do this? No, this is a commandment. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, this is what his answer is. All activities, and this is a quote by Mr. Brog, all activities of Cufi are strictly non-conversionary. Christians who work with Jews in supporting Israel realize how sensitive we are in talking about conversion and talking about Jesus. So those who work with us tend not to talk about Jesus more, but talk about Jesus less. Do you realize what that says?
They're preaching another gospel.
They most certainly are. They're taking Jesus out of the whole mandate. And by removing Jesus, They're removing the blood of his sacrifice.
That's right, yeah. And they don't, how they square this in their minds, I'm not sure. But it appears as though they're heading towards an agreement with the papacy, which has largely said that the Jews are saved under the old covenant, which directly conflicts with what the new covenant tells us. Paul tells us that the letter of the law killeth. The law kills. The law was only ever designed to bring a people into relationship with God. Jesus Christ himself fulfilled the law and confirmed the covenant. And what you will hear in the course of these clips with Cufi, you will not hear the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned more than maybe a couple of times. I think I counted possibly three times that I heard the name of Christ at all.
And in 3 hours.
In 3 hours, in probably a dozen major speakers, the name of Jesus was not lifted up. If you go to Cufi's website, it's CUFI.org. They have some pictures there of the dais, the platform they were standing on, with a projection of the flag of Israel behind them. No cross is evident in any of the pictures that I saw. To look at a group of people who gathered together, claiming to love God and to be Christians, and to see that Jesus Christ himself was not honored and glorified, but instead invoking the name, the Old Testament covenant, under the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is, of course, playing right to the Jewish heritage without directly bringing it into the new covenant. And these people claim that they are Christians, and they claim that their mandate comes from Scripture. But it would appear that their mandate is coming from something that's other than Scripture. In fact, let's listen to this clip, and we'll hear some. This is an absolutely ridiculous.
I want to borrow something I heard from Israel's ambassador, Daniel Ayalon, to the United States.
That's his name, yeah.
He said this some time ago in a meeting. He was addressing Christians right here in this capital city of our great nation. He said, "You Christians know to bless Israel, here are three ways you could do it. One, take people to Israel. Two, invest finances in Israel, spend money there.
Yes.
And three, know your Bible intimately." A few months later, I was addressing a group hosted at the Israeli embassy, and I quoted the ambassador's 3 points. But I stated that number three should be number one. Know your Bible intimately. We support Israel because we know and believe our Bible.
No, that's absolutely stunning. I don't know what Bible they're reading or what version. My Bible's telling me this Agor is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That's the Jerusalem that the Christian, the spiritual Christian, the spiritual Jew is looking toward and looking forward to when the Lord returns.
Yes, and let's see what John Hagee states about Christians United for Israel. Now, you're speaking about the spiritual Jew, the spiritual birthright right there, aren't you, Randy?
Yes, I am.
Well, let's see what they represent, because I have a quote here. And this is again, John Hagee being interviewed. And it says, "And I have said to our organizations," or I'm sorry, let me reread that. "And I have said to our organization, Christians United for Israel, we represent one issue, Israel and Israel alone." I don't see anything about Jesus in there. I don't see anything about the spiritual birthright. Do you?
No.
They only have one issue that they represent, Israel and Israel alone.
And that Israel is Agar, Mount Sinai in Arabia. It is
That's
the physical
correct.
Israel. It's the Israel that the book of Revelation refers to at one point as Sodom and Egypt. A couple weeks ago, actually I believe it was just a week ago, Tuesday, July 17th, was when most of these events occurred. And what we're looking at in the course of this hour is just identifying what this organization says, what this organization does, and what this organization means in terms of Bible prophecy, because we believe that they are prophetically significant.
Absolutely. And The interesting thing is so many things that they said that night were prophetic. So many things that they did that night were prophetic. But they think they're doing it on the good side, on God's side. Well, these are prophetic statements and things that they're saying and that they're doing. Oh, they're prophetic all right, but not in the way they think. And one of the prophetic things that they have going is a night to honor Israel, which will actually be coming up in October, October 22nd, down in San Antonio, Texas. And they've actually got other people coming on board, and there's a total of 6 of them now, from ranging anywhere from September through November 30th, and you can probably bet there's going to be more.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is that this last banquet that they called it Esther's Banquet, but they also called it a Night to Honor Israel Banquet. And what's interesting is if you go into the book of Esther, and James Lloyd has done many studies on this, you go into the book of Esther, and remember there was 127 provinces at that time?
That's right, yeah.
Yes, that these letters went out to, during the... You've got to read the book of Esther to find out exactly what...
Yeah, it's actually Esther chapter 1, verse 1. It tells
us. Oh, okay.
That, yeah.
Yeah, there's 127 provinces. Now, I have a quote from the Jerusalem Post, and this quote was by John Hagee. This was actually a March 20th Jerusalem Post article, and it states here, so 25 years later, we're continuing to do a night to honor Israel. Okay, now a night to honor Israel, John Hagee started it 25 years ago. And it says, only now we're doing it over live national television so the world can experience it as it goes across America and into 126 countries. Do you realize what that's saying, folks? 126 countries in America, that's 127, mm-hmm. The exact amount
exactly.
That's in the book of Esther.
Yeah.
And that is no accident.
That is the second spiritual signature that we see that's very significant with Cufi in terms of how they line up with the reverse, the role reversal that's going on in the book of Esther. And we suspect that as we go back and we look more carefully, we're going to see some other things in the books of Esther and Nehemiah and Ezra. They're calling attention to it. James Lloyd has done extensive studies. He's got 2 books in print and 1 book forthcoming. The book on Nehemiah, the Pre-Messiah, which you can order from Christian Media, would be a good place to start in that study. And then his study on Esther, which is...
Hadassah of Shushan.
Hadassah of Shushan by James Lloyd. 2 excellent books to understand those books, because those books are prophetically significant. And we're looking at role reversals of those books right now.
Exactly.
And a little bit more about the formation of Cufi. John Hagee made some statements. He told us to think of Cufi as a Christian version of AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. AIPAC is an extremely powerful lobby group in Washington, D.C., who have filtered money through the Congress to the point where they've actually been able to unseat unfavorable congressmen, especially in the South. They were very successful in lobbying against some of the Dixiecrats who were not in favor of Israel. They're also a very corrupt organization. There's a couple articles on our website, and we'll give you links to those in the show notes on the blog. You can go there and look at the articles themselves. AIPAC itself has been embroiled in a number of controversies, the most recent one when 2 former lobbyists of AIPAC were charged with relaying classified information to Israel. And this is from an article written John Mearshammer, professor of political science at Chicago, and Stephen Wald, who's a professor of international affairs at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. These guys are major players in the academic field. And they say this: the thrust of U.S. policy in the region derives entirely from domestic politics and especially the activities of the Israel lobby. Other special interest groups have managed to skew foreign policy, but no lobby has managed to divert it as far from what the national interest would suggest, while simultaneously convincing Americans that U.S. interests and those of other countries, in this case Israel, are essentially identical. This is a very critical comment because we're going to listen to a couple more clips here and you're going to hear exactly what these gentlemen are talking about in these articles. Let's listen to Senator Elliot A. Engel. He's representative from Bronx.
Elliot Engel, we're in a fight. We're in a global fight. And what's going on now with Israel and the terrorists is the same thing that goes on all over the world. It makes no difference whether bombs drop on Haifa or whether a plane goes into the World Trade Center or the Pentagon or whether innocent commuters are blown up going to work in India, in England, or in Spain. Terrorism must be put down wherever it rears its ugly head. And the place to start right now is in the Middle East, in Israel.
That's Representative Elliot Engel from the Bronx, New York. He represents a very large constituency of ethnic Jewish people in New York. And he was there that night to speak up along with several other prominent politicians, including Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, who is my senator, I'm sorry to say, along with the odious Arlen Specter. So as you can hear, the mantra of CUFI is largely that we are aligned with Israel. We're intrinsically tied to them because of political agendas, because of the so-called war on terrorism. They have basically linked us to Israel, and we are largely viewed here in the West as being almost identical with Israel. That's the political side of it. I got another clip here, and I want to get through some of these. Some of these are very interesting. We're trying to give you the perspective of what CUFI believes. Let's listen to Matthew Hagee, who is John Hagee's son and the co-pastor of his church.
Good evening and God bless you. My name is Pastor Matthew Hagee from Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. Tonight, not only is it my privilege to speak for Region 11, but it is also my privilege to speak for a young generation of individuals who believe in the message of Christians United for Israel. We believe in the truth of God's Word, that the nation of Israel is a holy land set aside as an inheritance for the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that the holy city of Jerusalem is indeed the apple of God's eye. It is a clear message written in the Word of God to all young people. It says, "Do not let anyone look down upon you because you are young." It's a statement that encourages us not to allow the world to intimidate us because we know the truth. We know the truth about the nation of Israel. The truth is not what Hezbollah says. The truth is not what Hamas says. The truth is not what the UN says. The truth is not what Islam says. The truth is what the Word of God says, and that is that Israel belongs to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob forever.
And I don't believe they understand who the seed is, do they, Sue?
No, they certainly don't. And this is actually a quote right here by John Hagee. And this came out of the San Antonio Pastor Champion for Israel, out of the San Antonio Express News. And this is what John Hagee has to say. "But God has given me a media platform in radio and television to which I have the opportunity of opening the Bible and chapter and verse, explaining why it is imperative that Christians be supportive of the state of Israel and the Jewish people and to love them unconditionally."
What is he, the Dr. Spock of Christianity?
Yes, I believe so. Yes. Love them unconditionally. Yes, the Jerusalem, the apple of God's eye. To love them unconditionally.
Yeah. These are repeated mantras coming from these people. And he does cite chapter and verse. Unfortunately, he doesn't cite chapters and verse. The odd thing about most of the people sitting in this room is that they're coming from what are called full gospel churches, and yet, unfortunately, they're not getting the full gospel. They haven't been taught the truth about their identity in Christ. They haven't read Romans chapter 8, 9, and 10. They haven't read Galatians chapter 3 and 4. They haven't taken the revelation of the New Testament. Jesus said that he came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The gospel was brought to the Jew. 2,000 years ago by the man that they placed on a cross. That is still open to anybody today, but for the most part, Israel itself is not a cradle of Christianity. Israel is a cradle of unbelief.
Yeah, in fact, over there in Israel, the Jews spit on the Christians, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
And we are to love them unconditionally. You know, the Lord loves the Jews. And he loves all people, but he wants the people to accept him and accept his sacrifice. And the Jews do not accept that. Not only do they not accept that, they shun it. They don't want to hear about the name of Jesus. And so here we have Kufi that is being very obligatory towards that, aren't they?
Yeah.
They don't want to mention the name of Jesus.
No, they're enablers. Basically, these people will go to hell unless they wake up and realize that they're enabling the Jewish people to perish without salvation. The only call that we are given in the Gospels, the Great Commission, is to go into all nations and preach the gospel. What gospel are you preaching, John Hagee? What gospel are you receiving, Judeo-Christians? Because the gospel that we hear being preached here is another gospel. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ at all. Let's listen to another voice from Judeo-Christianity, a very high-profile rapture cult pastor from the Midwest.
My name is Mac Hammond from Living Word Christian Center, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've been asked in 1 minute or less to describe why I support Israel, and that's a difficult thing to do in a short amount of time, but two basic reasons. Many of you probably heard Pastor Hagee say that if you read the Bible with any degree of intellectual honesty, you have to acknowledge not only Israel's place in the heart of God, but their place in the plan of God, past, present, and the eternal ages to come. And of course, the mandate that we as Christians throughout the Word have, not only to support Israel, but to be a blessing to Israel and to the Jewish people, and to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So it's easy simply to read the Word and decide you're going to support Israel. But even from a natural standpoint, a cursory examination of current events will show that Israel is our staunchest, our closest, our best ally in the war against Islamic fascism.
The real agenda comes out, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does.
If you've listened to this network for any period of time, if you've listened to James Lloyd, if you've listened to The Threshing Floor, you realize that we believe that Israel is scheduled to go completely bad, and that the land of Israel itself will probably be the seat of the Antichrist in some interesting fashion prophetically. What is happening right now is a confusion. It is Babylon. It is the blurring of political lines and spiritual lines. It is the justification of wars, because make no mistake, we will soon be going to war against Iraq. We will soon attack Syria. And these nations will be plucked up by the United States and by Israel, and it will be done in the name of Israel, in the name of protecting God's chosen people. The battle cry that you hear being echoed by Christians United for Israel in this program are the voices that are beginning to rise, calling for action, calling for war, calling for what eventually will probably be a Gog-Magog war.
Yes, and you had mentioned earlier about IAPAC, or AIPAC. Pastor Hagee himself and his group potentially, it says here, has more clout than Jewish pro-Israeli groups. And this is a quote from John Hagee, when a congressman sees someone from AIPAC coming through the door, he knows he represents 6 million people. We represent 40 million people.
Yeah, exactly.
This is how fast they are growing.
Yeah.
They are growing very fast.
Yeah. The total number of people present here was less than 4,000, but they represent a potential population of people worldwide that's probably 10 or 20 million people.
Easy.
These churches have planted, you heard earlier from Rod Parsley. Rod Parsley has planted churches all around the world. John Hagee has ministries all over the world. Benny Hinn, who is associated with this, ministries all over the world. Kenneth Hagin Ministries. is associated with Christians United for Israel. We're talking about a massive population of Zionist Christians. These are not mainstream church people. These are not Presbyterians or Methodists or yet Catholics, although I would expect at some point to find Catholics lining up with them. These represent the rapture cult at its very best. And trust me, I've heard John Hagee teach prophecy. He is pure Hal Lindsey in his prophetic teaching. We know what they believe. We know what their prophetic expectations are. These people are attempting to hasten their own destiny. They're attempting to bring forth the events that are going to cause them to be raptured, quite frankly.
Yes, and you know what's very interesting is, in fact, John Hagee, he talks about when you get a group of evangelicals together and they start talking about moral agendas, pretty soon you've got a dogfight in 15 minutes because there's a whole plethora of opinions. And that's quoted out of this article, San Antonio Pastor, a Champion for Israel. The one thing that it says here, every evangelical can agree on is Israel. Israel is the
exactly.
only thing
yeah.
that every evangelical can agree on. And so they're using this as the centerpiece. Oh, there's the image of the beast. And also the abomination of desolation, the lifting up of Israel into a preeminent position as the physical Israel.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
every evangelical can agree on this.
Yeah. And largely these are Charismatics, Pentecostals, and some Baptists who are holding to this. I want to look at another spiritual signature of Cufi. And for this, we're going to hear from Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas. Check this out. This is creepy.
Welcome, Senator Sam Brownback.
I've been to Israel several times myself. Remember one night in particular, I was looking out my hotel window and I saw the Star of David flying over the old city. And I'm sure many of you have seen that same sight. Fluttering in the breeze, darkness in the backdrop, light shining on it, Star of David. And when I was looking at that one night, I thought to myself, that's amazing. That flag has been gone for nearly 2,000 years, and now it's back.
I don't recall the flag flying in the Bible, but we don't know that. What we do know is Amos 5:26, but you have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Kayun, your images, the star of your God, which you have made to yourselves. Acts chapter 7, verse 43, Stephen speaking, yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon.
Yeah, do you believe, do you see those people? The prophetic statements?
Yeah.
Yeah, the prophetic statements that they're making. He's saying this has not flown over the state of Israel for 2,000 years. Yeah, it hasn't. Because that is the star of Molech.
Exactly.
And the star of Remphan. Yeah, that Stephan was killed for. He was murdered for. And that's what the multitude is going to be murdered for. These are all types and shadows
of
things that happened in the past. They're going to reoccur again. Yeah, the star that is flying over the state of Israel is the star of Solomon. It's not the star of David. It's the star of Solomon. And that has... Solomon followed Molech and Caillou. Yeah, and Ashtaroth, too.
Yeah, the spiritual signatures are all over this. This is the glorification not only of Israel itself, but the glorification of something that we see at least in this layer as the image of jealousy.
Exactly.
It's the return of the spirits. What happened in 1947 and 1948 with the formation of Israel was nothing less than the re-inhabiting the same spirits that were seen in Jerusalem at the time of Christ. Jesus in Matthew 12 tells us, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. And then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty and swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall this also even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation, speaking here of the last generation.
Oh, and this would be speaking about Kufi, because all of their spirits, their houses are swept and garnished, but there's no Jesus Christ living in them, are there?
No.
Yeah.
It's an amazing parallel.
And the evil spirits are going to be inhabiting them.
Yeah,
wickedness burneth as a fire. It mounteth up like the lifting up of smoke.
Yeah, and as we're coming up pretty close to the end of the show, we want to go through a few more quotes from John Hagee and give you a flavor for what John Hagee had to say in his keynote address that night. So we'll just go through these a few at a time here.
Let me borrow a line from the Passover celebration. Why is this night different from all the rest? Think about our name, Christians United. When have we ever been united about anything?
Here comes the mantra.
Our unity is a miracle of God. A rabbi from Nazareth, Jesus Christ, prayed this prayer, Father, that they may be one. Tonight we have become one, and we have become one for Israel.
Yeah, but I believe what he intended for us was to be one in the spirit. What John Hagee's talking about here is a political form of unity that's woven out of the fabric of his misunderstanding of Scripture and, frankly, his own political ambitions, his own misdirected idolatry.
Yeah, this one is made by hands, isn't
it? It's exactly what it is, yes. It's formed by human hands. Here's probably one of the most interesting statements that Hagee makes, and I know Sue will have a comment on this when she hears it.
Sleeping giant in America has awakened, and the Jewish people now have a voice in America. It's the Church of Jesus Christ.
It's not actually the Church of Jesus Christ, is it?
No, the sleeping giant has awoken. You know, I heard him say that night, and that just struck me, just like it was right between the eyes.
Creepy, yeah.
Yeah, the sleeping giant has awoken. Yeah, the sleeping giant, that being Esau. Now, if I recall, I heard James speaking about the Edomites, how they were all giants in those days. And, and so the sleeping giant has awoken. The house of Esau is rising. Is being rebuilt by John Hagee and his ilk. All of them are rebuilding the house of Esau and removing themselves from the tribes of Israel, the true tribes of Israel.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I think we got time for one more clip here. And
as Christians, we are unified that we owe a debt of gratitude to the Jewish people. Every word in the Bible was written by Jewish hands. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were Jewish. The prophets were Jewish. The first family of Christianity, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, were Jewish. The apostles were Jewish. John 4:22, Jesus of Nazareth said, "Salvation is of the Jews." What does that mean? That means if you take away the Jewish contribution from Christianity, there would be no Christianity. Judaism does not need Christianity to explain its existence. Christianity cannot explain its existence without Judaism. Therefore, it is time to stop praising the dead Jews of the past, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, while avoiding the Jews who live across the street. Anti-Semitism is sin, and as sin, it damns the soul. The Crusades, the Inquisition, the final solution of Adolf Hitler.
Stop. I got to say this. John Hagee has just basically said that anti-Semitism is sin. We would agree.
Yes.
What type of racism is he promoting when he says that a certain group of people are God's elect because of their blood, because of their flesh, because of their heritage, or because of their historical background? That's the question you need to ask yourself as you make your decisions about the chosen people, about God's elect. and about who you are in Christ. Because the question that was asked in this audio clip by John Hagee largely points to one thing. He who is a Jew inwardly is a true Jew. It's all about the Spirit, people.
It certainly is.
This has been The Threshing Floor with Randy Moggins.
And Sue Patterson.
Till the next time we meet, may God bless the true remnant of Israel.
And may He have mercy on the multitude.